David said he was going to record, so I'm on the mic. And I guess you can turn it down and still record, or because I think there's not that many people. So we had trouble with the computer, so I'll probably have to walk up there to change the slides. But that's okay. and I was going to sit, but maybe I'll have to walk too much. And I can't sit right here, so I'll just stand. But good morning. I'm Andrew, and my wife Natalie is here too. And my in-laws are here. And Natalie's mother's mom is here as well. So make sure you shake their hands when you get a chance. First off, I'm just going to share kind of our journey for the last 8 years. Because if you just read the newsletters or you hear one thing here and there, it's hard to get the kind of the whole story, the general picture. So I'll start from the beginning of our time in Cambodia. Let's see. Nope. Okay, maybe I'll have to walk all the way. Is that your computer slow, or do I need to click again? Okay. We moved to Cambodia in 2007, so we've been there a little over 8 years now. We wanted to learn the language first off. So when we went there in May 2007, we started learning language and did that for about 2.5 to 3 years, full-time language studying. This is a picture of one of our language classes. So we got to meet people from all over the world that were in Cambodia learning the language. We just thought that the language was key for us, that we wanted to be able to connect with people and have deeper relationships with people, and that we couldn't do that through a translator or through people, only the people that spoke English very well in Cambodia, which is not very many of the people. So we wanted to focus on the language from the beginning. And so we did that, and we've learned Cambodian language to a very functional level. And and throughout our language learning, and then a couple years after our language learning, we were exposed to a lot of different mission works that are in Cambodia. Some Christian missions, and some just, what do you say, humanitarian aid work. And throughout all of it, we were noticing that we came as, officially came as church planters, as missionaries. That was our original goal, I guess, our original job title. So when we meet people in Cambodia, we'll pretend Brandon is a Cambodian right now, I guess. Okay, I'm checking the slides here. I get confused with the slides. So we're meeting Brandon, and who are you? My name is Andrew. His name is Soka. And what do you do? What do you do? And I say, I'm a missionary. And just immediately there's this wall that goes up between us, because their perspective of missionary is some rich man, some powerful man from another country that's come to our country to change our culture, to change the way we live, and to make us kind of like them, kind of cultural invaders. And so we did, wherever we went, there were just walls instantly, because we said, what do you do? Well, we work with a church. You know, the wall just comes right up. And that really was hard for us, because as a missionary, you don't want walls between the people that you came to serve. And wherever we went, that was what we saw. And so we decided maybe for us, being considered a missionary in Cambodia was not the best option. Maybe there was a better way. So we decided, after thinking a lot and also being interested in teaching, Natalie was a teacher in the States, and we both liked teaching. We decided that we would kind of cancel our support as missionaries and we would work as teachers. And we knew that in Cambodia, teachers are respected, and if you say, "I'm a teacher," there's not a wall that comes up. You know, there's a relationship that they can understand happening already, because they know what a teacher is and they can relate to what a teacher is. But if you say you're a missionary, you know, danger, danger. And I think we found that to be the case. When we became teachers, people have been a lot more open to us, to knowing us, and we liked our jobs a lot. Here's a picture, I think, of us as teachers. Not teaching, but when we were testing out the waters for teaching, we decided to volunteer teach, and this is a volunteer school that we taught at for a few months, and we're able to kind of connect with the people in that school in a way that we hadn't before. So after we canceled our support, or right at the time we canceled our support, we got jobs for money, paid jobs at an English institute in Phnom Penh. And so we worked there for 5 years? Is that right? Wow. Seems like a year, but apparently it was 5 years that we worked. I have to write it down because time just kind of gets away. But we worked at those jobs for 5 years, and we liked the job of teaching. But we, in Cambodia, we're always just surrounded by poverty. Everywhere we go, there are needs. And so, as a foreigner who has some skills, you always think, maybe there's something else we could do. Because we're teaching the people that can pay for it. So not the poor. We're teaching the kind of middle and upper class children and adults. And there's always kind of that feeling inside, well, maybe there's something else we can do. And so eventually, a few years back, some friends of ours invited us to join them in a work that they were starting. They were starting a Christian school, a primary, secondary, kindergarten through 12th grade school. And they wanted us to help out with things, and we agreed to help in small ways because we were still working, and we wanted to be able to maybe volunteer in our spare time. And so we would work on small projects with the school and maybe go there once a week, things like that. And eventually they asked us to be involved full-time, and we just couldn't say no, long story short. So now when we go back to Cambodia in November, we'll be full-time working with the school that's called Peace International School. I'll tell you more about that later, or in 2 minutes. But and so we're here in the States raising money for our salary because it's not a paid position. And we're also looking for teachers that could go to Cambodia for a year or more and teach at the school. But I'd like to share a little bit about Cambodia itself. And I never can remember what I told you last year, because we were just here last year. But just some quick information about Cambodia. You can see the map. It's between Vietnam and Thailand in Southeast Asia. Some of the key things about Cambodia, or at least things that we think are key. The main religion is Buddhism. 90%+ of people claim to be Buddhists. And traditionally, Buddhism is kind of integrated with their society, their culture. And originally, it was part of the government, and everything was all kind of integrated together. And things are changing a lot, especially in the city, in Phnom Penh, where we live. Most people are not very religious, per se. And also, what we think of Buddhism is probably very different than what they think of Buddhism. They have a mix of beliefs from all over the world, so their Buddhism is not the same as another Buddhism. I think in the States, Buddhism is considered kind of an atheistic religion, more of a philosophy, a way of life. But in Cambodia, there's, you know, lots of traditions and temples and monks and do this to get this kind of result and all these traditions that you wouldn't find anywhere else. So I don't want to say paganism, but it really is. In Cambodia, if you want to pass the test, there's a certain statue in Phnom Penh that you go and burn incense to. And if you want to get healed from your sickness, you can go to a fortune teller or a monk to say a magic chant to heal you or things like that. So it's not what you would expect from if you've studied Buddhism. And really in the city, the gods are like the gods of America, you know, money, wealth, power, status, family, cars and phones and all that kind of stuff. But one thing that's helpful for us as Christians in Cambodia is that they're not anti-Christian. They're very happy that we are Christians. And they're very happy to learn about Jesus, but they're not so interested if people are trying to pressure them or control them. But they're not anti-Christian. So that helps us in a lot of ways to feel more comfortable. This picture here, there you see one old man and two really young guys. They probably have become monks because that's one of the ways that poor children can get an education. They'll become monks and they can stay at the monastery. And monasteries are usually connected to the public schools. So they can stay there and eat there and then go to the public school. And their village may not even have a high school. These look like they could be high school students. So, and I mentioned already the poverty. And this, I don't know, you can't really get a picture of poverty, and this family's not even really that poor. But I'll tell you a little of their story, because we know this family through the school that we volunteered at 5 years ago, more than 5 years ago. Their son was working at the organization that we volunteered with, and he was able to get a decent education because he went to the temple and near his town where there was a high school, and he was a good student, and he was able to get a job at this organization that gave him a scholarship to go to a decent school. So their family's kind of an exception because he was kind of able to get help and get a decent education, or at least better than most in Cambodia. And so Cambodia is not the poorest country in the world, but it's very far from the richest. Most children don't get enough vitamins to develop their brains and things like that. So you don't see starvation, but you see a lot of malnourishment in Cambodia. And the reason why, well, there's not one reason why there's a lot of poverty in Cambodia, but a big reason that it's very difficult there right now. It goes back to the late 70s, and I don't know who in here knows about the Khmer Rouge. Probably a lot of us have heard. Mr. Sin back there knows some things. But the Khmer Rouge took over the whole country in 1976, and their philosophy was that civilization had become irreparably corrupted, and that the only way forward, the only way to fix a problem was to eliminate everything that had developed and start over from zero. And so in 1976, when they took control of Cambodia, they called it Year Zero. They were restarting the clock. And so anybody with any level of education would be eliminated. And anybody that had eyeglasses, because, you know, you have eyeglasses because you need to study, right? Anybody that had eyeglasses would be eliminated. If you spoke a foreign language or your family had connections abroad, you would be eliminated. So they burned all the money. They burned all the real estate documents, all that. Anything related to civilization was destroyed. They dynamited all the bridges, went back to small ferries crossing the rivers because they wanted to restart everything. And of course, we know it was not a good decision, to say the least. This building was a school before the Khmer Rouge era, and it was converted into kind of a prison execution place during the Khmer Rouge times. So they would send any people they considered enemies of the state to that place to be eliminated. And so it's in Phnom Penh, and it's not a place I like to go to, and Cambodians don't either. But you'll see pictures on the wall. They took pictures of everyone that went through there, and you'll see children and young ladies with babies, and so it's anyway, it's hard to explain. So from in 1979, that era was over. The Vietnamese came in and set up a new government. The new government was probably 60-70% ex-Khmer Rouge guys. So they still have this idea. They themselves have no education or very little. And they have this anti-education bent as well. And they're also very corrupt. So Brandon can tell you, and maybe has told you, that everything has a price in Cambodia. So if you want justice and you don't have money, then that's too bad. And if you want an education, you've got to pay for it. So corruption keeps the Cambodian people oppressed as well. More specific to education, the training that people receive in Cambodia to teach other people is also very bad, because all the teachers were eliminated in the late 70s. All the schools were closed. And so when you open a school and you don't have any teachers, you just select some people that need a job. And so the teachers don't have an education, and so they're teaching. And so there's nothing to build on. So we've seen all this for the last 8 years, and we wanted to do something to help. So I'll share a little bit about what we're involved with now. Am I good on time? Yeah, okay. Just before it hits the 12 there? Okay. So, yeah. The school that we're working with now is a Christian school. Right now we have kindergarten, well, we have preschool, kindergarten, and then we have first grade through ninth grade. Ninth grade actually starts Tuesday. Okay. And then next year we'll open 10th grade, which will be high school. In Cambodia, 10th grade is high school. So, and then the year after will be 11th, and the year after will be 12th grade. So we have kind of two focuses in our work with the school. One is an educational focus. We want to improve the education for the students, and we want to improve the education system in Cambodia. So we have teacher training three times per year. So we try to build in help for the teachers and not only the students, because it's all needed. And the second field of work is a spiritual field. We'd like to be Christ-centered in everything we do in the school. So we, I think the next slide has a little bit. I don't know if you can read it. Oh, those are students. Maybe it's a slide after that. The students, right now there's about 200 students in the school. It opened in 2010 with 4 students for the first year, and now we're up to 200 students. These kids will be the first graduating class in 2019, hopefully. So right now they're starting ninth grade on Tuesday, and they're fun kids. So we have mostly Cambodian teachers, about 20 Cambodian teachers, and then we have some Korean volunteer teachers, and Natalie and I teach. But while we're here, we have another American couple that's teaching in our place. And let's see, next slide. I got ahead of myself. Maybe I really got ahead of myself. Okay. Anyway, we'll do with this slide too. This is just some of the teachers at the school with some of the volunteers. And this was a teacher training that we did just July, right? Beginning of July, so right before he came here. And the guy on the right is a missionary friend that we got to help teach Bible, because in our teacher training we also include spiritual things as well. So we brought in a missionary friend of ours named Chris to help do Bible teaching. Okay, here's the slide that I was thinking of. Can you read that? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. But it kind of shows the matrix of the two areas of work, which you see on the left column, it's educational. And on the right column, we've got Christ-centered areas. And we work with the students. But really, as an administrator, which is what my role is, you know, I'm in touch with the teachers a lot more. So we don't want to forget the teachers either. And those are some of the things, just examples of some of the things we do to fulfill those goals. And this is another shot from the teacher training that we just did. And so Dennis the white man in there is Dennis. He's another missionary friend of ours that we got to do some teaching. And this is our timeline, our short-term timeline. We did the first thing already in 2013. We moved onto the campus, and so we're still living on the campus to be closer to the school. And then for the last couple years, increasingly, we've been working together with the director of the school and kind of mentoring us to do more in the school in the future. And November 2015 is 2 months from now, so we want to have our salary, personal expenses, and working funds committed in the next 2 months. So we're going to go here, there, and everywhere over the next 2 months to meet with people and discuss how they can be involved. And then in November, when we go back, I'll be able to do full-time work as the vice principal of the school instead of just 1 day a week, which is basically what we've been doing lately. And then next year will be the opening of the high school. And that's kind of my main goal for the next year, is to get those classrooms ready, hire faculty, get processes set up so that we can open the high school in 2016. And Natalie is the English program coordinator. I don't think she has an official title, but that's what she does. She works with the English teaching part of our school, and also teaches quite a bit of English in the school. We're also interested in or involved in a few other things that interact with the school, but are not solely with the school. I've been trained as a coach, like a personal coach. And so I'd like to use that in the management of the school, but also for whoever needs that. And we just did some counseling training in Colorado a couple weeks ago. And so we'd like to use those skills that we've gotten in the school, but also in the community around the school. I guess what you'll see in another 10 minutes or so is Bible storytelling, which Natalie actually got excited about first, and then she sent me to the training, and I was like, okay, I'll go. But in the end, it was great. But I'll tell you a little more about that at the next hour. So, as I mentioned before, we are in Cambodia. No, we're not in Cambodia. We are in Tennessee, right? We're in the United States looking for financial partners and people to pray for us and to advocate for us, because our school is a much bigger work than the two of us and even the four of us. There's the couple that started the school, and us are the kind of the team that works with the school. It's more than we can do. So we need teachers, but also other things as well. And we also need U.S. stateside advocates to advocate for the school. And we need teachers. We need teachers to teach in Cambodia. We want them to be qualified teachers and to stay for at least a year, a school year, so September to June, right? September to June. And so let us know if you're a teacher or you'd like to come. Band directors would be great too. Yeah. Just a hint, I don't know. And yeah. Well, talk to us. So anyway, that's a quick introduction of us and what we're doing in Cambodia. Is that all the time then? Okay, well, it's good to be back again, and we really appreciate you guys' support for our work, and hope that we can communicate well, but also get some of you involved more directly with things. And I look forward to spending time afterwards. Yep. Well, Not really right now. I mean, it's a, you know, we teach math and science and history and English and Bible. So it's a equivalent of where you send your kids here. So, but in the plans, in our dreams at least right now, is opening an associate's degree program on the campus. And one of the things that we really want to do is agriculture. In Cambodia, the education system is very fad-oriented. So, like right now, everybody wants to be a doctor or a banker or accountant or management. And so you've got 25 schools that offer banking and medicine and management and accountancy. And so in another couple of years, there's going to be a lot of accountants with no jobs. And there's not enough agriculture schools. And actually, there's not enough English schools either. So agriculture and English are two of the big things that we want to do in an associate's degree program. So, yep. Well, the government comes and looks at our school. I mean, there's no law against having a Christian school or converting people or teaching the Bible. It's freedom of religion, so I think there, for certain people in the government, they're concerned about anybody that has any power besides themselves. So that, you know, that is a threat to some, but in Cambodia, there's not that. They don't really have a way to get in our way in that respect. And the government people I've met, because they come to the school, they've been very positive. And they've seen the school and what we've done. So, you know, I don't feel any kind of like we're going to kick you out or any kind of thing like that. They're corrupt government officials, so they're coming for money. But, yeah. In Cambodia. Yeah, oh, yeah. So, I'd like to get to know any of you that I can, and my wife's here, my in-laws are here, so welcome them, I guess. And that's all I have for now. Yeah. With the school, we charge a very small tuition, which is barely enough to pay for the Cambodian teachers' salaries. So there's no money for foreign teachers, so you would need to find support somehow or be independently wealthy. If you could work that out, that would help, yeah. But we'd like to get in touch with Christian colleges or Christian private schools. I know some schools have the ability for teachers to take a sabbatical year, something like that. So some people would be able to do that. Not all. Probably not people with children. That would be difficult. But you never know. There are a lot of children in Cambodia, and they're doing fine. So do I say class dismissed? I don't know how this works.